Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach and CEO of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. What's hard to believe, it's July 8th and 9th, depending on when you're listening to this. July 4th, Independence Day, has come and gone. And I know the event, the naturalization ceremony at Strawberry Bank, was well attended. And, of course, we had the team from Strawberry Bank here on last week's show. Depending on when you're listening to this, if it's Saturday, July 8th, there's still time to drive up to Hanover for the Prouty bike. It's not a race. It's basically 50 miles or 75 miles or 100 or 25, and it raises money, obviously, for Dartmouth-Hitchcock. And Sunday, July 9th, is a Hugh Holt Memorial 5-miler leading up to the big event, which is the Bill Luddy 50th anniversary 5-miler on Saturday, July 15th. I know most of my running friends will be there with me. But this weekend, we'll be talking about Haley's Campus Safety Symposium. With me is John Stevens and Kitty Kiefer. And thank you, Kitty and John, for joining me this weekend. I know it's a busy time of the year, and thank you for coming in this weekend.
Thanks for having us.
So, John, let's start with you, with your background. Reading your bio, I was really impressed with all the great things you've done. So tell us about your current position, I know, with the New Hampshire Department of Safety, but also your very robust history, which I think the listening audience will find very interesting.
Well, thanks, Tom. I appreciate the time that you're giving us here. My background has started with the state police many, many years ago. In fact, spent 28 years with them. I left the state police as a troop commander, and soon after that found myself down in Washington, D.C., consulting with Homeland Security and basically working on national security events in regards to safety and security, that being the Democratic and Republican national conventions, some of the sporting events as well, with Super Bowls and Women's World Cup soccer. So it's been an interesting career. About 3 years ago, I found myself back here in New Hampshire, back with the Department of Safety as the statewide interoperability coordinator and the single point of contact for FirstNet, which is a national broadband wireless network dedicated to first responders. But throughout my career and through the many years of experience, one of my best friends in the world was Nick Haley's. And Nick was a previous member of the state police, retired, and then became the chief of police down at the University of New Hampshire. Unfortunately, he passed away about 3 years ago. He was also a trustee of the Community College System of New Hampshire, and I was honored to be able to take his place. And during that time, we elected to name a symposium in his honor in regards to safety and security for not only college campuses in the community college system, but for colleges and universities throughout New Hampshire. So it's certainly our pleasure to be able to talk to you this morning about that.
I'm looking forward to it. And you're currently on the community college system board, correct? With Connie Roy Jaskowski, my colleague, which is how we connected. So that's
correct.
That's awesome. And of course, you are on the state police. So you must also know my good friend, retired as well, Neil Scott and his son, right?
Very well. I know them both very well.
Excellent. Okay, Kitty, so you have a pretty impressive bio as well. Tell us what you're doing in the Office of Attorney General and as well as SART.
All right, well, thanks for having me. I am working in the New Hampshire Attorney General's office along with the New Hampshire SART coordinator, and that stands for the Sexual Assault Resource Team and Project or Initiative in New Hampshire. And that project started several years ago to get together county-based sexual assault resource teams, so pulling from the crisis centers, from local law enforcement, county attorney's offices, in some cases some mental health providers, and increasingly college campuses are being involved in those community SARTs. And in the latest iteration of the grant, we decided that, you know, we had this college campus response to sexual assault world kind of merging with the world of the more traditional partners that one thinks of, like the crisis centers, the medical providers, and law enforcement. And as those worlds came together and we saw that we could really best serve victims, survivors, and our communities by increasing the collaboration, they changed the grant a little bit to bring on a new position. And that's me. So I'm the New Hampshire Campus Consortium Coordinator. And I work with the well-established New Hampshire Violence Against Women Campus Consortium. And I also work on bringing those two worlds together so we can collaborate even more.
Very compelling position in history. Thank you for doing that. Now, I know the content of this year's conference will include Title IX, but let's get some basics. When is the conference? And also, can the public just show up, or how does that whole process work?
Well, Tom, as you know, this is the second annual symposium that we're offering in Nick Halias's name. Last year's was based on an active shooter situation. But we wanted to really involve the campuses throughout New Hampshire with not only an opportunity to expose information, but actually train and provide skills in regards to being able to respond to these types of events. When we started looking at the things that most affect college campuses, certainly in New Hampshire and throughout the country, our issues involved around Title IX and sexual assault on campus. So we felt this was a great opportunity to be able to offer this type of symposium. The symposium itself is on Friday, August 11th, 2017. It will be held at NHTI, the campus here in Concord, New Hampshire. It begins registration at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we anticipate with a full agenda that will go through about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Certainly, you can register online, or you can contact the systems office, the Community College Systems Office, and certainly matriculate that as well. We have a seating capacity of about 250 people. We're currently about 160. We anticipate that within the next month or so, we'll be getting an awful lot of interest in regards to this. So the sooner you make your information known to attend, the better off you'll be.
And having attended last year's, and I know there was a lot of focus on the Virginia Tech situation, and I found that one of the most valuable symposiums I've ever been at, and I think it just sort of connected everything, including the fact that we know so much more, and if you do kind of see signs of, you know, mental health issues and so forth, that you know, something like that hopefully can be prevented again. So thank you for doing that last year. But let's talk about this year. So Kitty, let's talk about the statistics. My understanding is sexual assault is one of the most underreported crimes, so even these statistics may be understated, but why don't you talk about the stats?
Yeah, so across studies, campus sexual assault rates are pretty high, especially for female undergraduates. Those numbers range from 20%, so that's 1 in 5, to 25%, 1 in 4. By some measures, that's even higher. And then the rate appears to be even higher among students who identify as transgender. The Association of American Universities recently did a really large-scale climate survey, and they found a lot of variation from campus to campus among the universities that it studied, but still that we're coming back to really high numbers. So they were able to sort of pinpoint a picture of one's overall risk for the 4 years. So during a student's experience at a four-year institution, they found about 26% of females, about 6% of males, and about 29.5% of transgender or gender nonconforming students.
And this is for either John or Kitty. So, like, why should campuses, you know, get involved?
Well, I mean, obviously, these are incidences that are taking place on campus, and in many aspects, they are. The campuses themselves, particularly campuses that have a law enforcement contingent, would basically handle that. But what we're trying to do is create a relationship between the individual campuses around the state to local law enforcement and state law enforcement that can provide investigative opportunities to pursue these incidences.
So you're providing some more resources for the local campus security?
Yes.
Awesome. So, Kitty, tell us a little bit more about SART and how, you know, this gets involved with this symposium.
So, the SART sexual assault resource teams are county-based, and they are currently 12 teams in 9 counties. Those core members, again, tend to be sexual assault nurse examiners or other medical providers, the law enforcement community, advocacy community, county attorney's offices, and the victim witness advocates who are there. And they come together to help make the system more responsive, so victim-centered, trauma-focused, and also change the investigation so that they're more offender-focused. So providing services to help the victim and also making sure that the investigation focuses on the offender. So it's not, why didn't the victim take this step to protect herself or himself, but, you know, how is the offender using that to target a vulnerability? And as we looked at it and looked at the high number of sexual assaults on college campuses, it just made more sense to really try to build that relationship and collaborate with campuses as much as possible.
Perfect. John, can you tell us what the intended audience to you started to talk about that later, but why don't you give us the whole outline of all the folks that could get something out of this conference?
Well, the folks on each of the individual campuses that deal with safety and security obviously are those folks that we would target to attend this particular event. We're looking at coordinators, counselors, local law enforcement in the area to attend as well. So I really think that there's a cross-section of people that would really benefit from attendance to this event, including mental health advocates in the area as well.
And, of course, I've often had Judge Broderick on me with a change direction in terms of mental health awareness, so it makes sense. It seems like this is going to take a village, you know, really to address this. And I think we also want some Title IX coordinators there as well, if possible. And it will be sold out. So I encourage people to sign up. Again, it's Friday, August 11th, right at the NHCI campus. It will be one of your more valuable days. So please stay tuned with Tom Raphael, with John Stevens and Kitty Kiefer after commercial break. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Here we are already, July 8th and 9th. And again, for my running friends, the 7th out of the 8th race of the Capital Air Race Series, the Bill Luty 5-miler, will be on Saturday, July 15th. This is a pretty big year for the Bill Luty race because it's the 50th year that we'll be celebrating the Bill Luty race. And of course, Coach Luty will be around. He had several state championships, both for boys and girls at Concord High School. And after the Mount Washington Road Race, the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, which I ran a few weeks ago, I also did Loon Mountain last week. The Bill Luty is right up there in terms of the longest running races in New Hampshire. But this weekend with me is John Stevens and Katie Kiefer, and we'll be talking about the Nick Helias Campus Safety Symposium. And let's start again with the specifics. It is Friday, August 11th, and that will be at the NHGI campus. But John, let's talk about the speakers and something that we learned last year, how compelling that speaker was and how you've taken that under consideration, for this year's speakers.
Well, as you know, Tom, last year we had a survivor of an active shooter situation down at Virginia Tech. And we felt that her message was extremely compelling. And we also felt that when we started looking at the subject matter for this year's event, if we, in fact, could find someone who was a survivor of an incident such as this, it would be equally as compelling. So we were very fortunate to be able to locate Annie Clark. Annie Clark is the co-founder of what is called EROC, which is End Rape on Campus. She is a survivor herself, and I believe that the message that she will convey will be equally as compelling.
Awesome. I mean, and again, having been at last year's, I mean, it was literally riveting. But even more importantly, there was really some pragmatic advice, and I'm assuming that Annie will also provide us some, practical. I go to so many conferences, and I love when there's, actionable items. So I assume that, one of the results of this year's symposium is that we come out with some actionable items.
Absolutely. Certainly, as I said earlier, this is an event not just to expose information, but this is an opportunity to receive training and learn skills that individuals can take back to their individual campuses and apply them should they, God forbid, have a similar situation as a sexual assault on campus.
Thank you. That's really great to hear. So, Kitty, I know that we want to also, you know, ensuring that campuses respond adequately really depends on training. So let's get back to that question, then I'll get later into Title IX. But in terms of how campuses interface, you know, with the criminal justice system and why campuses really need to be engaged in this process.
Yeah, thank you. That's a question we get a lot. And I mean, if you've followed some of the really high profile news stories, and if you ever look at the comments attached to those news stories, you may see a lot about, you know, why are campuses even involved? Isn't this a matter for the police? And it is a matter to take very seriously. It's also the victim's choice. If a victim is 18 years or older, they have the choice to report to local law enforcement or to campus officials or to both and start both processes or to report to neither. We think it's really important to keep that choice within the victim's power so that they can start to regain power and control after a situation that was all about taking away all of their power and control. So we really can serve them best by making sure they retain that choice, that it's under their control, that they have clear expectations about what the different resources and services can provide, and that the resources and services are ready to respond and work together. Ideally, having people responding on campus increases a victim's choices. Campuses are such an insular community. The dining halls, the residence halls, the academic buildings. Imagine how many times a victim may bump into their perpetrator on a daily basis. So it's great to have people on the campus, the Title IX coordinator you mentioned, campus security and safety, and some others who can help victims negotiate that and help them carve out spaces and times where they can access their education, which is a right, without constantly being afraid of seeing the perpetrator.
And this has to go way beyond the normal orientation, you know, that freshmen get, correct? It really has to be a comprehensive, almost continuous improvement education throughout the 4 years beyond, you know, 10 minutes in a freshman orientation, correct?
Absolutely.
And, of course, training, too. I know I'm using this here as a little bit of an analogy, but I'm working with Justice Broderick on this Change Direction program. It's one thing to get the word out, you know, in terms of be aware of the 5 signs of mental health, but I know in my own company we want to make sure that, you know, a manager, if an employee approaches you and says that they have meniscus surgery and I'll be out 2 weeks, that's a very comfortable, you know, conversation that happens. But if that same employee says I'm having some mental health issues, or if I'm having mental health issues in my family, in my home, and I need to take the next 3 weeks off, that's a slightly more uncomfortable conversation. But we need to be able to talk about mental health in the same way we would talk about meniscus surgery. So I'm assuming that in terms of training the campus staff, that, you know, when a woman or anybody, you know, reports something like this, that victim isn't felt, you know, shouldn't be made to feel uncomfortable, correct?
Absolutely. A lot of those, you know, you talked about like the 10-minute new student orientation, you know, they talk about, you know, what is sexual assault? And if it happens to you or a friend, you can come to us. Well, we want to make sure that the people they're coming to are well-trained, who will not be, you know, blaming them or trying to sweep it under the rug, but will be giving them their options and helping them to really navigate the situation.
I think that's so important because, you know, I say this to my CEO colleagues, I mean, you can have all the greatest, you know, work policies, but if someone on campus in authority, you know, gives off body language which suggests that, you know, I really don't want to hear this or whatever, it doesn't matter, you know, what the orientation, you know, book says. So I'm glad to hear that. So thank you for sharing that. Very, very important. So let's talk about Title IX. I mean, I think most people hear it in connection with sports, but it goes way beyond that. So, you know, John and Kitty, why don't you talk about how this relates to the symposium as well as the Clery Act, et cetera?
Well, in support of what Kitty just spoke about in regards to the actual symposium itself and the trauma that is created by a incident such as this. Just to just kind of get back a little bit to the agenda itself, we also have Linda Douglas, who is a trauma-informed specialist, who will be speaking, and she will talk about the neurobiology of trauma in regards to cases such as this. And we also have an individual by the name of Joe Storch, who is the general counsel at the State University of the New York system, to be a speaker and moderator of a panel that will include people from Plymouth and Dartmouth and Keene and St. Anselm's, all who have been part of the planning process and so forth. So it's important that we capture the entire essence of what we're trying to speak about here. So I think it's really important that when we look at the agenda in of itself, it really presents an overall picture as to how campuses need and should deal with this and, type of incident.
And I'm glad to hear you're having Linda, because again, in with one of my many hats, I'm also on the board of Early Learning New Hampshire, and they have something there called ACE, which stands for Adverse Child Experience, and something that occurs between when someone's 3 years old, lives with you the whole rest of your life. So I'm assuming a sexual assault on campus, that's something that will have live with that person forever. And so I assume Linda's going to be addressing some of that.
That is correct.
Yes.
Absolutely. So let's we have a couple of minutes. Let's talk about Title IX and how that all relates to all this.
Okay, great. So a lot of people do associate Title IX with sports. And there's
you
really.
Have to remember, I'm a jock, but I know it goes way beyond that. So.
And there's nothing, there's nothing in Title IX, these, 39 words that changed campuses forever, that really pins it to sexual assault, but it's really evolved. So basically, it guarantees your right to an education free of discrimination on the basis of sex. And so initially, it was applied to sports situations, and that you couldn't, for example, pour all this funding and resources into a men's sports program without pouring resources into a female sports program. And over the years, it just kind of evolved through some pretty high-profile case law that came out, through some guidance documents from the White House and the Department of Education, to be like, well, if we want to ensure access, then we have to respond to sexual harassment, because that would make it hard for someone to access their education. And then it almost looks at sexual assault as a very, very severe form of sexual harassment that's, based on somebody's gender or sex or gender identity.
So it's all related, and it's really the cultural part of the school. I know we see that now almost daily with reports out of St. Paul. So I think the campus culture is so important, and hopefully this relationship to Title IX, it makes a lot of sense for me. So we have a 30 seconds each. Why should someone attend this? I'll start with you, Kitty, and then I'll go to John, and then give us the specifics again, that it's Friday, August 11th.
Well, someone should attend this if they want to go back to their campus and make meaningful change for their students and their campus community. We expect that Annie's story will be inspiring and help connect it to the realities victims face. And then she and the other speakers will really help package those take-home messages that they can bring back to their campuses.
An actionable item. I love it. John?
Well, I think, you can go right back to the title of the symposium itself, and what that says, it's power and partnership. And it's a partnership that is created between education, the community, and law enforcement, and all the resources that are there that are available if an incident like this should happen. So, again, I just remind everybody that it's Friday, August 11th. Registration begins at 8 o'clock in the morning. If, in fact, you should have any interest, is at no cost. There's no cost to attend this. You can reach out to the following email address, which is hrobinson@ccsnh.edu, and she will inform you in regards to the link for matriculation to this. And we certainly look forward to not only putting on this event in Nick's name, but we look forward to creating this partnership with those who are in attendance.
It's a compelling day. I urge you to attend. So again, it's Friday, August 11th. Thank you, John Stevens and Kitty Kiefer, for the Nick Helias Campus Safety Symposia. Tom Raffio, please stay tuned next week for more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.